fucking awesome. Come on, it's gonna be fucking awesome.
You know the words.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
That's it, say.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
All right, everybody, it's that time again. It's me, your friendly neighborhood Snyder Man, the spirit of geek vengeance, the coolest geek alive, me, myself, I, Jesse Blaze Snyder. No, please, hold your applause. Because today isn't about me. Today is about Daredevil. I know I said that I was going to hold off on jumping into more of these immediately until I saw how people were reacting to them, but people seem to be reacting to them really well, and I realized I did like 3 episodes on DC Comics, and there are a lot of people who have more interest in Marvel Comics, and I think if you have interest in Marvel Comics, the place to start is Daredevil. There's some interesting parallels with Daredevil with Batman, but their kind of aesthetic. If you like the aesthetic of Batman, the buildings and gargoyles and streetlights and hand-to-hand combat, that kind of stuff, that's where they're similar. But in general, they're actually very different animals spiritually. Even though Frank Miller is associated with Daredevil and he's associated with Batman, I think the characters have much different spinning wheels. Reading Daredevil has been some of the most rewarding reading of my comic book life. And it's funny because I can't say that Daredevil is like, I don't know, he might make it into my top 10, maybe. I don't feel like he does, though. There's so many other characters that I like better. But, dude, Daredevil. I don't know exactly what it is about Daredevil that has attracted such greatness. And it's really underutilized in some capacities. I mean, at this point, some of these things have gotten played with properly. You know, Mark Waid, I'm going to get into all these different runs. There's just so much to read. As I've said before, the metaphor, if you like serialized television, I'm going to give you just so many years of really gratifying reading, and you can even go into it a little bit more deeply than I'm going to recommend, depending on how much you're loving it. But I promise the things that I'm going to recommend are freaking are insane. Or at least the things that I've read. There are some things that I'm going to recommend that I haven't read. I've been forever promising myself that I'm going to read the classic Daredevil stuff. And I made the mistake of buying the first thing that I got was this Elektra Reborn book that they had done. And it's a bit of a weird bird. It was one of these things where they like let Frank Miller do whatever the hell he wants. And I love Frank Miller. A lot of Frank Miller's work is great. Some of Frank Miller's work is a little weird for me. And like, I'm missing something, you know. I don't want to diss Miller's thing, but that Elektra thing was one of them. It was this big omnibus that I got of this Elektra stuff, and it was a little daunting, and weird, and I was told that was kind of the thing. But that was where I started, and that made was just kind of a mistake on my part because it didn't get me super excited to read the classic, like, because I know a lot of you guys have heard of the Frank Miller work on Daredevil, which I've read some of, but like an issue here or there when it's been reprinted or whatever else. Because a lot of times when you read periodical comics and storylines are coming up, they'll reprint a couple old comics. So I've read a bunch of different bits, and I may have even read just like the Born Again trade paperback or one of these things. I don't remember them super well. Like I said, I didn't really dive into this, but I'm going to get into those things that I haven't read and what some of the great recommendations are and who some of the great writers are in a little bit. I want to start with telling you how I got into Daredevil and really giving you my story about getting into comics. Because for years, I read like some of the word balloons. I only liked the funny characters. I didn't really like to read. And this is literally going into being a teenager. But I guess around that time, 11 or 12 or 13, I picked up an issue of the Savage Dragon when this character Bedrock, this was the third issue of the miniseries that kicks off the ongoing series of Savage Dragon with the next issue, number one. In this issue, Bedrock, or now known as Bad Rock, he guest starred. And I really liked that character because he just said silly, infantile things that made me smile. So I was reading his dialogue a lot of times in the Youngblood comics. He was one of my favorite characters because he was a ripoff of The Thing, and The Thing was another character that I really liked. My first comic book that my dad ever bought for me was a Thing comic book where he fought the Sphinx. Thing number 16 or 17 or 26 or 27, I don't know, one of these numbers, but it was a cool book, and I really liked The Thing. The Thing's a funny character. He's from New York, he's Jewish, you know, I have a little bit of Jewish heritage, even though I wouldn't say that I'm Jewish. Why was I talking about The Thing? The Thing and The Rock and Bedrock. Oh, because Bedrock shows up in Savage Dragon. So Bedrock shows up in Savage Dragon, and Savage Dragon just humiliates him. I've told this story before. He humiliates him, and it was so funny to me because the Savage Dragon character was pointing out what an infantile character Bedrock was, and I just was sort of like sitting there giggling going, oh my God, he's so right. Bedrock really is an infantile character. Maybe I'm an infantile character. What's this character, Savage Dragon? And I started reading The Savage Dragon, and I became a lifelong fan of The Savage Dragon. I will forever recommend the first bunch of trade paperbacks that will lead you up to issue 75 of Eric Larson's Savage Dragon. Everything after issue 75 of Eric's Savage Dragon is a mixed bag. It's all a mixed bag, and it's none of it is what the first 75 issues plus the 3-issue miniseries of The Savage Dragon was. It really, that series was freaking phenomenal. He made a really strong pivot at issue 75 because he had done a bunch of interviews where he kind of put his foot in his mouth and said a bunch of things about what he thought Marvel Comics should be doing. And then he applied the Marvel Comics judgments that he made in public to his own book and changed it forever in some ways that fans like me who really love the book were just devastated by. I don't really believe the book has ever recovered, even though it still has something to offer. Eric's great. He made me love comics because he loves comics so much, and he entertained me as a geek fan since I was 16 years old. I used to bus it to this the Chicago Comic Con because I thought he came from there. Apparently, he didn't actually. But the Savage Dragon book took place in Chicago. I figured he made it to Chicago because that's where he was from. And I would go to Chicago Comic Con and I would harass him. I would go to these like little fan meetups and I would literally give him 100 books to sign for me. And I met Robert Kirkman that way. He and I were both huge Eric Larson psycho fans, long before he was Robert Kirkman the way you know him. He was doing a book called Battle Pope at the time, and I was, you know, just like starting to put my portfolio together for that thing. Actually, I think I was hiring Chris Cross, who was working on one of my favorite books, Captain Marvel. I hired Chris Cross to do a 6-page intro preview to a book that I did called Reckless that I was really excited about, and I'm still proud of that little preview. And Chris Cross has expressed interest in doing it over the years. Maybe one day he and I will pitch an Image or something like that. But this was really my pathway to comics, The Savage Dragon. When I started working at 7-Eleven as like a 16-year-old and I read Savage Dragon, there was still a certain amount of Marvel and DC comics on the newsstands, including a book called Deadpool, which I had heard was funny. And I love Savage Dragon the most because it really had a lot of humor. And at the time, humor was what I was most interested in when I was younger. And still, humor is one of my favorite things, one of my favorite things to write, favorite things to, you know, if you hang out with me, all I'm going to do is try to make jokes and stuff. Like, try to make us all laugh because I like to laugh. And Deadpool, that book opened up my doors to a little something called advertising, because I would pick up books that were associated with Savage Dragon that Eric would advertise, But Eric's company was Highbrow Entertainment, a small company within Image Comics. There wasn't necessarily a lot of ads for all these other things, and I wasn't super interested in those things. But Deadpool, I love. Joe Kelly, one of my favorite writers. Joe did a little bit of writing on Daredevil. I'm not actually prepared to talk about any of his writing on Daredevil because I've never actually read it. I've always wanted to. Again, these are older Daredevil things. I love Daredevil. I have so much Daredevil that I have read that I'm going to recommend to you so happily because it's great stuff. But Joe was writing Deadpool, and because he was writing other books, like he wrote some X-Men at the time, and that was being advertised alongside the Marvel Knights, which brings us to Daredevil. Joe Quesada, Jimmy Palmiotti, they came in as like editors of a line. They were given four books, four characters to kind of have to take care of and do something interesting with. And they chose Daredevil, the Inhumans, Punisher, and Black Panther. They basically hit it out of the park with three out of four of these. They would eventually take another swing at Punisher, which is the one that they screwed up the first time. They had him as like this weird angel. The storyline was just not appropriate for the characters. It was wrong for his idiom, sir. The book Welcome Back, Frank, which later came out through the Marvel Knights imprint, is great. I was going to recommend it later, but I'll recommend that now. If you're interested in The Punisher, Welcome Back, Frank is a great place to start, and it'll get you on like a lifelong journey of The Punisher if you just follow the breadcrumbs from there, because I don't want to get into The Punisher today. I want to talk about Daredevil. But Daredevil is featured in Welcome Back, Frank. He's got a pretty good few good scenes in there. My journey into comics really began here with the Marvel Knights line, because I was reading the X-Men books because I like Joe Kelly, and I thought, well, maybe it'll be funny, at least a little funny, and I like the X-Men animated series, so I read that stuff, and that stuff was good, and it got me into a lifelong habit of reading X-Men comic books. But the Inhumans and Black Panther and Daredevil for the Marvel Knights, those three books like changed my mind about comic books, because I was prejudiced, as most people are. And if you're out there and you're hearing this, you're probably like, oh, well, I'm like a little prejudiced about comics. Like, I thought they were lame to some degree. Like, I liked the art. I loved beautiful art. And I was like, well, this is beautiful art. But I didn't really think the stories were going to be anything. So many people think that, like, this is why some of the films and the TV shows aren't so good, is because the people making them don't think it's supposed to be. They're like, oh, well, nobody expects this to be good. It's comic books. But it's actually when comic books are taken seriously and done really well that you're like, holy shit, what an incredible experience this is. This, like, these people, this small group of people have created this immersive world that lives and breathes, and I can just feel it because I can see it, and it's so well defined, and the telling of the tale is so compelling and interesting. You just don't know until you read, you know, like if you read a few dozen recommendations from my Comics 101 list that I did, I don't know, like a month ago now, and you don't like anything, then comics aren't for you, I guess. Or my taste isn't good, and maybe you should try something else, somebody else's taste. But I promise you, there's something in there for you. There's something in there for everybody. And I think I explained all those ones in that way. Daredevil, I think, is a book that kind of has something for everybody. It's heavy. It tends to revolve around his relationships, his friendships, and his romantic relationships. And he's got a lot of hot and heavy relationships. So it's like a real heavy soap opera. It's not light and fluffy like Spider-Man. It's bloody, and it's dark, and it's the underworld. And when it is good, it is fucking great. and there is so much in here that is great. There is so few Daredevil that I've ever read in my life that isn't freaking awesome, or at least pretty good. But I'm going to tell you about some stuff that's fucking awesome. Okay, kicking off this thing here. And and I'll just say that if you ever want to look into those Marvel Knights offerings that I entered in with, The Inhumans by Paul Jenkins and Jay Lee, incredible. Nothing with The Inhumans has ever been done to top it. That thing frames them so wonderfully. You know, the moments with Black Bolt in the Illuminati and some of the other pieces that have been done in the comics, there's some cool things. And they all stem from how cool that initial Inhumans miniseries is. Nothing ever tops it. And I read like every Inhumans thing that they ever tried to do after that, because I was so in love with the Inhumans because of that miniseries by Paul Jenkins. And Paul and Jay Lee go on to do another series, The Sentry, which is fucking awesome too. You can get the trade paperback for that. They really pulled the punch with this and made the dude kind of crazy and evil and a lot of things that I don't really love. I really liked what Paul Jenkins was trying to do with The Sentry when they were really taking the good part of him seriously. This miniseries is great. Unfortunately, a lot of things were abandoned after that. But there was tons of great things that came out through the Marvel Knights line. Like I said, you also that Black Panther series by Christopher Priest. You can get those trade paperbacks. They're fucking awesome. There's a book called The Hood, with Parker Robbins, great character, really interesting anti-hero. Again, Brian Michael Bendis took that character and really kind of raped and pillaged him for just, you know, purposes that he needed. I think he was like probably forced to use the character and therefore just used him the way that he wanted to. But the initial miniseries of that thing, and there's a lot of Marvel Knights series that are worth checking out. So you can go into a whole rabbit hole of the Marvel Knights miniseries. They're great. Just avoid at all costs the original Punisher as an angel undead thing. Ugh, don't read that. Very bad. Yeah, there's some Grant Morrison stuff, Marvel Boy. There's a whole bunch of good stuff. Black Widow miniseries. A lot of the Black Widow miniseries are weak. The things that I'm mentioning are the things that are really strong. Try to focus on that. Okay. So, the Kevin Smith written and drawn by Joe Quesada and Jimmy Palmiotti Daredevil series is freaking unbelievable. Joe Quesada and Jimmy, they continue on for a little bit more than this initial arc by Kevin Smith. Then David Mack comes in and works on some things from issue 9 to 15. And then it's Brian Michael Bendis and David Mack working from issue 16 to 19, and then issue 20 to 25 by Bob Gale and Phil Winslet. Bob Gale is the guy who wrote Back to the Future. I thought that his little story arc was great. A lot of this is just, you know, the beginning of getting to some real story building and world building, but it's all really well curated by Joe Quesada and Jimmy Palmiotti. They do a great job, especially on the stuff that they draw and the things that they do with David Mack. David Mack is a beautiful artist. He does like watercolor and stuff. In here somewhere is where they introduce Echo, which is really cool, which will actually be followed up by David Mack in an Echo like revisited story arc in the middle of what will be the Brian Michael Bendis era of Daredevil, which I will recommend next. This initial story, like section of stories, is amazing, and it constitutes Daredevil, the Marvel Knights Daredevil issue number 1 to 25. Okay, and these story arcs again are Guardian Devil in Daredevil volume 2, number 1 through 8, by Kevin Smith, Joe Quesada, and Palmiotti. Parts of a Whole, which is issues 9 through 15 with David Mack, Quesada, and Palmiotti, and Wake Up, which is 16 through 19, Bendis and Mack, as well as that last story arc, 20 through 25, by Bob Gale and Phil Winslet. I forget what that story arc is called, but there is a collection of it, I'm sure. All right, So this initial run was enough to knock my socks off, make me like, wow, cool, Daredevil's awesome. It gets kind of artsy for a second with David Mack being brought in, and they introduce this Echo character, and there's a lot of cool stuff. There's a little storyline where you meet Ben Ulrich, who's a reporter for the Daily Bugle. He's a real kind of cool character. He's like a confidant for Daredevil, who he's got history with in the previous the classic Daredevil stuff, which I'm going to get into a little bit later. And Daredevil, I think, having an interaction with Leapfrog and Leapfrog's kid, and it's kind of a heartfelt, cool story. So it really shows a range of the types of stories that could be told with these superheroes, and it's all really interesting and good. And the initial story by Kevin Smith is really fucking good. Like, you don't expect it to be so good, because his comedy movies are like, okay. Like, I mean, I love some of them. They're really funny, and they're, but how well made are they? They're okay. They're like, I don't know. Do you expect him to deliver the goods? Like, he really delivers the goods with this Daredevil. I was very surprised and shocked. Like, it's great. And introduced me to Bullseye, a character who is one of my favorite characters in all of comics. Just as a villain, he's just such a pure, simple villain who so many good writers have done so many interesting things with. And Kevin Smith is the first that I read doing really interesting things with Bullseye. But oh my God, there are many more. Actually, that's not true. No. I guess that is true. Because the 1-2 punch was Joe Kelly used Bullseye in his Deadpool run. And I loved Deadpool and Bullseye's relationship. If you ever get a chance to go back and read Joe Kelly's Deadpool, is great. Some of the way it's written is a little bit long in the exposition, long in the tooth exposition-wise. Stylistically, that was the style of the time. Joe is actually one of the few writers like that who had a style like that and has adjusted his style over time to be more contemporary. And I prefer his style later, but still, as just reading the stuff at the time, I loved that stuff. It was really, really good. And the stuff with Bullseye and Deadpool is fucking great. To this day, as a toy guy, some of my favorite toys to play with are Deadpool and Bullseye together as a team, because Bullseye just does not give a fuck. and Deadpool does. But at the same time, Bullseye has this really dark sense of humor, and so does Deadpool, and they make each other laugh in really dark, terrible ways. It's wonderful. It's really wonderful. Highly recommend that. So this was part one of Jesse's Daredevil reading. I'm recommending this is where you start, but you can start also here. But I really wouldn't recommend starting here. Maybe you can start. Yeah, there are some other places you could start with, like Mark Waid's run and in the classics. But I would say if you're gonna do this, man, just start here. Because everything builds on this for a long time. For a long time, Joe Quesada is at the company and everybody is working on Daredevil knowing that he's freaking watching, basically. And everybody tries to write a love letter to all of the things that he did because they're, you know, they're trying to get work there and they want to work with Joe. They want to make Joe happy. So this work that comes out of all this stuff is great, and it all is built on the foundational things that start off right here with Daredevil number one by Kevin Smith and Joe Quesada and Jimmy Palmiotti. So then from here, we get the Bendis era. And the Bendis era is amazing because basically he gets outed in the tabloids as being Daredevil, Matt Murdock does. And he has to just deny it. They're trying to sue him, and so many different problems are happening. And he has to like sort of ride out this thing. And Bendis's story arc is long and wide. And basically it ends with, and I'm giving things away, but like, I mean, over the course of this episode, you'll forget all about all this stuff. And, you know, you go back and you start from the beginning with Kevin Smith's stuff and just start building these stories and collect getting all these issues. You know, I like I said, it's pretty easy to get them in trade paperbacks. The end result for the next writer who comes in is Matt Murdock's in jail. But this is issue 26 to issue 81. So what is that? 36, 46, 56, 66, 76. So almost 60 issues of story here. This starts with Underboss, and this is by Brian Michael Bendis and Alex Maleev, who does the vast majority of all these issues with him. I don't think there's like barely any fill-ins. And it's great. Underboss, which collects issues 26 through 31, and granted, you can get this whole thing, just the complete Brian Michael Bendis compendium, which will also include other issues from the previous run that I was talking about, run number one coming off of Kevin Smith. These Brian Michael Bendis Daredevil things are just freaking awesome. They were just surprising and cool, and not what you expected. And I was reading other books at the time, so I had a good idea about like what was going on in other comic books, and it was just all very new ground and cool and well done. The first story arc's called Underboss, the second story arc's called Out, the third story arc's called Low Life, the fourth is called Hardcore. The fifth is a David Mack fill-in, where he writes and draws the whole thing. It's very cool. It's Echo Vision Quest, and it's the return to Echo from when she was introduced in around issue 15. People like me who had been introduced to her at around issue 15, we were super excited. I was super excited. I didn't remember it being super great. It was like a little artsy-fartsy, if I remember correct. But everything he does is beautiful, David Mack. So it was just, it's very pretty, and probably worth checking out for yourselves too. And certainly better than anything that Disney Marvel is going to do with the freaking thing as a television show, unfortunately. In the comics, she was very soft and cool because she was deaf, and like I remember her being like sort of balled up in like dance clothes, playing keys on the piano. Just very pretty and kind of dainty. The character, the way they cast the character, she's very butch. She's like a military chick, not the character as I remember her, and I really like that character. Anyway, the next story arc is called The King of Hell's Kitchen, and this is by Bendis and Maleev, and I think that fill-in story arc was to give Maleev time to catch up here. And then they do a story arc called The Widow and the Golden Age, as well as one called The Deluge. Or the deluge, I don't know, the deluge, D-E-C-A-L-O-G-U-E. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce that, forgive me. That was a great story arc. That was basically the story arc where things really started to fall apart. Because without things like hit the fan, and then a lot of shit goes down in all these different story arcs, you know, like 40 issues of story. And then the deluge or whatever, those issues were like, poof. And then the final story arc is called The Murdoch Papers. It's freaking awesome. It leads into the next run of Daredevil, which I highly recommend. Again, these guys are building all on top of one another. And this is by Ed Brubaker I think Michael Lark mostly. Great stuff here. Ed Brubaker is a favorite writer of mine. I love a lot of his independent stuff as well. He does a book called Criminal, which is a great crime thing. He loves crime stuff, noir stuff. I'm not super into crime and noir stuff, so I would never read all of his backup material because he would write so much, but I was always appreciative of just how much he clearly loved the thing that he did, and it showed in his work. His work is just spectacular, and it's no exception here. Coming off this amazing run by Brian Michael Bendis, he just continues to make a really rich and interesting story starring Matt Murdock now in jail. The first storyline is called The Devil Inside and Out, Part 1 and Part 2. The Devil Inside and The Devil Out. Somebody's Daredevil outside. I don't know what the next storyline is after this Devil storyline, but it is Brubaker and Lark from issue 94 to 99. How many issues is it here of Brubaker's run? It's from 82 to goes to about 82 to 119. 92, 102, 112, and 119 plus 500. So it's basically like 40 issues of Brubaker. So this is amazing here, right? You know, you got 8 issues of Kevin Smith writing. And then another, you know, 8 issues of Joe Quesada directing, and you got some Bendis, and you got Bob Sale for 6 issues at a time here, there, 4 issues and 6 issues. Then you got Bendis for 60 and Brubaker for 40. These are some decent runs here. You know, they're just multiple trade paperbacks. You know, this will take you a little while to get through this. I mean, granted, if you get all of them and have a big stack, you'll dig through this shit fast, because holy shit, man, this was one of those books, the Daredevil by Bendis especially. The Brubaker stuff too, though, he kept it going. He did. It's only like a notch below, because it was just hard to frickin' beat the tense situation that he put the character in, and like, and all of the juice he squeezed, Bendis squeezed out of it, and then Brubaker continued to squeeze juice, but it was a continuing to squeeze juice kind of thing, you know, from this craziness. It's just oof, so good. The storyline is called, there's another storyline called Without Fear. I know all of this stuff is collected. I'm sorry that I didn't look up the title from issues 94 to 99. I'm sure if you get The Devil Inside and Out by Brubaker and Michael Lark, you'll be able to follow the path down to the next storyline and the next storyline. Like I said, I know the fourth one's called Without Fear. The fifth storyline is actually by a buddy of Ed Brubaker's. He has co-written some things with this writer, Greg Rucka. I love Greg Rucka as well. He's a great fucking writer. Another guy who loves crime and that kind of stuff. They've written some great Batman stuff and a great book over at in the Batman thing I recommended, Gotham Central, fucking awesome, by Ed Brubaker and Greg Rucka. Amazing stuff. So issue 107 to 110, 4-issue miniseries, is written by Greg Rucka. I don't know who does the art here. I didn't write it down. But there is an Elektra companion that kind of fits into around this time, maybe a little bit closer with earlier issues of Bendis's run of things. And it's written by Greg Rucka, and it's solid. Rucka is a great writer. Great writers, no matter what they write, it's generally good. I generally would read anything that Rucka wrote, and I pretty much never regretted it. You know, sometimes I was like, okay. Or a certain amount of time, like with Elektra, I don't remember a lot of it, but I do remember at the time reading it, enjoying it. And but there are things from him that I really, really do enjoy quite a lot. But maybe it's actually a good Greg Rucka starting point, because you'll be like, oh, wow, this guy's pretty good. And then the next things you'll read from him, you'll be like, holy shit, he's really good. Anyway, he brings in his buddy Greg Rucka to fill in for this little arc here. What do I have notes here? Oh, at the time, there were some other storylines, some miniseries that came out that you might want to look at that I remember and enjoy. Bruce Jones, writer, and Sean Phillips, artist, did a Kingpin miniseries that was pretty cool. Also, there was an incredible Kingpin story called Severance Package. It was a one-shot story in an amazing, it's collected in Spider-Man Tangled Web, I believe. It was a one-shot story written, I think, by Brian Azzarello and Greg Rizzo, who are the 100 Bullets team. Forgive me if it's maybe Greg Rucka or somebody else who wrote the story, but oh man, what a great story. It's just about Kingpin, basically what he does to people who displease him, his employees that don't make him happy. It's a great, great story. Severance Package, that's a great one. Find that one. And there was also around this time a miniseries called Bullseye's Greatest Hits, which was written by Daniel Way. I think maybe drawn by Mike Diodato, or at least he did the covers. Some really great covers. I love Bullseye. I've got a soft spot for Bullseye. I don't remember this being as spectacular as I wanted it to be, but I still remember really generally liking it, and generally I enjoy most of Daniel Way's work. So I'd recommend that one too, if you end up liking Bullseye as I do. Okay, so continuing on into Mr. Brubaker's run, we've got the Lady Bullseye story arc. If you've seen her design, she's got a really cool design. She's in this like bodysuit with the bullseye, black, white, kind of. It's like it's a bullseye, but almost a yin yang kind of vibe to it. It's very cool design. Really well executed introduction of a new character. They've got a toy coming out of her. I'm super excited to get my hands on it. Yeah, this was a welcomed addition to the roster, a gender swap, but some new character, you know, this Lady Bullseye character, and she is quite cool. So the final storyline that wraps things up, I don't know if Lady Bullseye storyline was drawn by Michael Lark. I don't think so. I think by this point they were giving him new artists. I think Michael Lark had to move on to other things possibly. But there's a storyline called Return of the King, which goes through issues 116 to 119 and issue 500, which basically merges the numbering, the original numbering of the comic book, into its classic numbering, what it would have been if Kevin Smith's Daredevil had continued the numbering of Daredevil where it had left off prior to its relaunch. So this was done by, I think this arc was by David Aja. David Aja is great. He did another great story arc with Ed Brubaker on Iron Fist. Pretty positive it was Ed Brubaker and David Aja. Definitely David Aja who did the artwork. I have the David Aja Iron Fist sigil tattooed on my chest because I thought it was so cool and elegant. Love his work. And this finale to Ed Brubaker's run really makes it all worth it. Like, he so sticks the landing here. Which is why the next storyline called Shadowland is as disappointing as it was. It's just like, ugh. Somebody reminded me when I was looking through various lists and stuff that other people had posted researching, trying to just get all these numbers and get all these artists and names and stuff so that I could recommend properly all of these books. They mentioned that the point of this story was like editorial wanted to reset everything from the way Brian Michael Bendis had made it known that he was Daredevil, and I didn't remember that necessarily being a storyline plot point that changed. Maybe it did at the very end, because I was fucking over this storyline. Like, seriously, after all of the goodness of 100 issues, I'd read 100 issues of brilliance, 120 something issues, plus all the miniseries and cool stuff that had come out at that time in support of this, which again, because Daredevil was Joe Quesada's baby and he ended up becoming the editor-in-chief and was getting promoted to the company, everybody was like, you know, shining him by like paying attention to the work he did and building on all this great stuff. And he paid attention to the work that Frank Miller did, and Kevin Smith paid attention to the work that Frank Miller did, and they had built on that stuff. And this corner of the Marvel Universe is just so... well done. Well, Shadowland just kind of walks back on all these things. It gets really mystical. It gets into that mind control thing, which if you've ever watched a television show, like how about Smallville as an example, where they started using that red kryptonite way too often, and you know, freaking Clark would be really just a total dick to Lana Lang because he's getting mind controlled, and you're just like, oh god, fucking mind control. So this is like a mind control storyline in Shadowland. I didn't even plan to talk about it this much. I really believe that you should finish this shit with Ed Brubaker and then just do not read what comes after it. Do not read Shadowland. Just skip over it completely. You don't need to read it. It will not change your life. Okay? But the next thing that you do need to read, and a place where you could start if you wanted to, the next two arcs that I'm going to tell you about, they are amazing, and you could just start here if you wanted to. But I actually believe that if you start with where I told you to start and then continue, you are going to be a happy camper. Okay, so this is volume 3 of Daredevil, which gets relaunched, written by Mark Waid. Mark Waid is one of my favorite comic book writers of all time. I had the pleasure of working with him when I was at Boom Studios, working on Boom Kids, and had, you know, got to be able to get editing notes from him and whatnot. He's a total hero of mine. I think he's a brilliant writer. And this work that he did on Daredevil here is some of his greatest work of all time. Unfortunately, I haven't even read all of it. My reading of it is a little spotty. I had like started getting into it, and I was so freaking enamored. And I'm not exactly sure how far I got. I think like into the teens, and then I missed like a little story arc here, and then I had to come back for a story arc here. And so I can't tell you a lot about all of it because my reading of it has been spotty. I was reading a lot of it like when I was at the comic book shop, and I had missed issues, but I was reading issues as they came out. I was working at this toy collectible shop, helping out in the stock room and whatnot for a toy discount and all that shit. and I was reading a whole bunch of this while it was going on, and oh my god, not only some of it that I haven't read, like I can tell you how beautiful, how good it is because of like how fucking beautiful it is. The artwork that some of these freaking artists are bringing in, and all of the artists, it's just a collection of people like Chris Samney, who's really great, and Paula Riviera, who's great. It was just all these artisan sort of artists they gave to him. I can't recommend this enough, even though I didn't get to read the entire thing. And actually, I got a lot to say about the next one too. Can't recommend that one enough, even though I didn't read the entire thing. But we'll get to that in a second, because first I just want to go through these story arcs and some of these things right here real quick and give you some of the information that I do know. The first arc's called The Most Dangerous Man Alive. Again, this is by Mark Wade. I don't know who drew this first story arc, but that's the first six issues. From there, there's Christmas Journey at issue number 7 by Paula Riviera on the artwork with Mark Wade. The Purple Children. Yeah, see, I just have... Oh, these are just like some of like the best stories, storylines that were from the thing that I was writing down. Okay. I didn't write all of these down with the names of the storylines. The book essentially goes 36 issues with Mark Wade writing, and then an additional 18 issues with Mark Wade writing, and generally Chris Samney on the art, and I don't think very many fill-ins. So what's that, 36? 54... issues of these Mark Wade books here. They are really great. There's a storyline by Jock as on the art called The Return of Bullseye. Fucking awesome stuff. There's a crossover in there that includes issues of, I'm not sure if it's like Avenging Spider-Man, some sort of weird Spider-Man title, and Punisher or something else called The Omega Effect. There's a trade paperback for that, for the Omega Effect crossover, so you don't miss that storyline. But basically, just go and get Mark Wade's Daredevil run. It is incredible. It's beautiful. It's such a great collection of different artists, and you're in for a treat. The Mark Wade's Daredevil, and all very superhero-y, very not repeating itself, not like the previous things that had been done with Daredevil. Like it had completely its own heart and soul about it. It really just demonstrated what a fucking talented creator Mark Wade is, and how much the right artists can elevate projects to new heights and new artistry. Like, you know, some of these artists make you read the book so differently because their art is just so well defined and well articulated. I don't even know how to properly describe some of the work that you're going to see in this Mark Wade run of Daredevil. The art is just incredible. And I mean, and there's great work on Daredevil in previous, you know, the previous runs of Daredevil has great artwork in it, but holy shit, Mark Wade, he brought out the best in all these artists, and these artists brought out the best in him, and these stories are awesome. There's a one in particular with the Spot. There's just so many good villains. He introduces a lot of new villains, and there's so many old villains used just appropriately, just used really well, and just Can't recommend enough. Can't recommend it enough. Please do read. Like, but start. Don't skip. Don't skip. Start where you start. But get to this. Get to Mark Waid. And then there's a storyline or a story arc. I don't really know anything about it. It's actually a buddy of mine, Charles Soule, sweet dude. He had a run on Daredevil, which I believe was generally well received. I never heard anything bad about it. But I also never heard anything like over the moon, and I wasn't around to read it. It was like kind of right around when I wasn't reading comics, like in the main bit of it. So I can't recommend that one. See how you feel. I didn't feel like I needed to read that run of Daredevil in order to enjoy all of the greatness that is the next one that I'm going to recommend, which is by Chip Zdarsky and Marco Cecchetto. Shout out to Marco Cecchetto. Marco is awesome. Me and Marco, his first art at Marvel was my first writing at Marvel. We our first work ever together, and he and I have been friends ever since. He is such a wonderful creator, wonderful guy to work with. He elevated my Deadpool story like you wouldn't believe. The Deadpool story, which was the work that I worked on with him back in the day. And he is just really passionate and brings that passion to his work. And no different for this Daredevil run. I didn't go to the bother of writing down each one of these story arcs and whatnot. But suffice to say, it's Chip Zdarsky and Marco Cecchetto on Daredevil. It's like a issue 1 through 36. I don't know what volume that would have been. It might be like volume 5 by that point, and volume 6 is the 1 through 14. So, but what's that? 40, 50 issues. So 50 issues with Chip and Cecchetto. And I think that there's a big crossover story arc in here, but I'm pretty positive they're all collected together. Like, you know, they're not going to miss those pieces. So it'll be quite more than 50 if you get interested in any of the side characters that you'll get introduced to through the big story arcs in here. Lots of great stuff with Kingpin and Elektra taking on the Daredevil role. Really awesome, awesome stuff. All right, so we are at 46 minutes into this thing, and I think we're just going to keep going. Because what the fuck? I mean, should I split it and do classics and other things another day? I don't know. I think I'll continue because I don't really have all this stuff together. So, okay, first off, there's a Classics Daredevil Bullseye collection that collects a ton of stuff from Marv Wolfman and Jim Shooter. These are, you know, greats of the business. And Frank Miller. It reprints. This is volume 1 of Daredevil now, so skipping all, this is like early, mid-70s kind of stuff, or late 80s kind of era Daredevil. I'm not exactly sure what years these are. Well, let's see. 93. Yeah, I guess it's got to be around the mid-80s, 80s and 70s, late 70s, early 80s. Well, the Bullseye for me as a character is great. I've read a lot of these things, these reprints of these issues of 131, 132, 146, 169, 181, 191. These are just early appearances of Bullseye. But what you really have here, if you want to get into the classic Daredevil, not like the classic, because apparently the classic, there's some great stuff. And I've read so much Daredevil that I've been interested in reading everything, like, because I don't have a character that I've ever gone back that far. Like, I've never read the classic stuff from the 40s or the 50s of any of these, Superman or Batman or anybody. I have certain eras and writers that I follow, basically. And if I find a writer that I like, I'll follow them to whatever work they do. So Frank Miller, I've gone back to Frank Miller, but I haven't really gone further than this. But there are some great Daredevil stories that are recommended to this day, and there are some that have been reprinted that I have really enjoyed. So I might go back in time and do the old school Daredevil thing, and you can do that if you end up falling in love with Daredevil the way that I do as well. But I haven't done that yet. What I would definitely recommend, and again, I haven't read all of these myself because I kind of started with the weird Elektra Born Again thing, which was a strange one. You can just get the Daredevil a Frank Miller Klaus Janson omnibus. It collects issues 158 to 191. I'm sure there's probably some additional things in there as well. There's also an original graphic novel called Daredevil Love and War, which is supposed to be great. Daredevil Born Again, which is the one that's the most classic. You probably want to start with Born Again. Born Again is issue 226 and 233. And I don't know if this is actually saying that the omnibus collects Love and War and Born Again and Daredevil the Man Without Fear. I'm thinking maybe it did. So the omnibus will have all of these things, and you'll get, you know, Frank Miller's big works. The later thing that he did was in 93 with John Romita Jr., which was Daredevil the Man Without Fear. I wasn't a huge fan of that story arc. It's actually where the idea of Stick and Splinter, the trainer for the Ninja Turtles, they're being trained by the rat in the sewer, Splinter, was based on the blind man, Stick, who teaches Matt Murdock, Daredevil, how to defend himself and as a blind man. A lot of these storylines are beloved. People love this stuff. I have not read all of it. I'm aware of a lot of it and what goes down in the stories because it gets referenced often here or there. So, I mean, these are worthwhile stories to go back and read, especially if you're a big Frank Miller fan. A lot of this is drawn by him and not written by him, but eventually it gets written by him. That stuff's, I think, the best of the stuff. You know, he's really a solid writer. If you haven't read Frank Miller's Sin City, the comic books are excellent. And you don't got to deal with any of the really shitty acting that was in some of the movie. And the follow-up books, there's like seven different Sin City graphic novels, and I think all but one of them is awesome. Like six out of seven are great. So I highly recommend Sin City by Frank Miller. And the Frank Miller Daredevil stuff is highly recommended by anybody who reads comics. Again, it's on my list. I'm going to actually make a new list, a fresh list, and this will be some of the stuff that's at the top of it, including some more stuff that I'm going to get to in just a second that's from the classics bit. Within these storylines, by the way, of what's collecting the Frank Miller thing, you've got Grave Mistake by Miller in issue 158, Blind Alley in issue 163, Expose in issue 164, Devils 169. These are classic stories. Gang War in issue 170 through 172, The Elektra Saga in issue 168, 174 through 182, Child's Play, another classic story, 183, 184, Resurrection, 187 through 190, Roulette, how do you pronounce that freaking word? In issue 191. And of course the Born Again Saga 226, because Frank Miller leaves and comes back. So there's a couple different people filling in during this time, in between certain issues when he comes back and he does the Born Again bit. Plus a couple other storylines from this time include Marked for Death, Gang War, or I Got Bang War. I think a graphic novel called Daredevil Punisher Child's Play, really great. Love's Labor's Lost is another storyline from here, which is a good one. Anyway, like I said, if you get the omnibus, you'll be getting all of these Frank Miller bits. And you'll get that Daredevil Man Without Fear miniseries. And then there's a separate thing that you can get, which is the Elektra Lives Again thing. But only get that if you like that Frank Miller by Ronin or like that weird stuff. It's really weird. Around this time, you also have Ann Nesenti, the one of the most famous wonderful writers, who also happens to be a female. So often there's all this nonsensical narratives that comics are a sexist workplace or any of this other bullshit. Fucking Ann Nesenti, yo, been in there kicking ass, taking names for ages, does some great work here on Daredevil back in the day. Storylines that you can find with her, American Dreamer, around issue 236 of volume 1 of Daredevil, which she does with Barry Windsor Smith, who's known for his classic Weapon X Wolverine stories, where Wolverine's naked with the weird helmet on his himself, the and all the wires and shit. It's Barry Windsor Smith. Barry Windsor Smith's an awesome artist. She's also known for the Typhoid Mary Saga, So if you're an Anna Senti fan from any of her X-Men work or anything else that she's done, or you like the sound of the fact that, ooh, it's a strong female who's been writing comics, kicking ass for a long time, these are some good places to start as well. These are some classic Daredevil stories. This is introduces Typhoid Mary. People really enjoy this. This is, again, volume one of Daredevil, around issue 254 to 263. And she did some of this with Ramada Jr. So another, some great, more great artists. And there's another story, I didn't write down who the artist was, that she's known for, called Lone Stranger. So you can look for the collections of those. And I think there might be some more collections with Anna Senti than just that, but that's what you got. Other than that, we got Deadliest Night of My Life is a classic story, issue 208. Badlands, classic story, 219 by Frank Miller. I wonder if that's collected in any of these Frank Miller things. Probably. Classic story called Fog, issue 220 by Denny O'Neill and Masuccelli. Denny O'Neill is also well known for writing Batman, working on Batman. Denny O'Neill is a really great writer. Beer with the Devil, issue 269. These are some classic stories that I've never read, but they were on a couple different lists. I'd made note of some things. So Acts of Vengeance, issue 275 through 276, I'm told are good. Daredevil in Hell, issue 278 through 282. Body Count, issue 292. Last Rites, issue 297 through 300. Probably some of these are collected, so that's why I wrote down the titles of the storylines. And one that I was always interested in reading, Trial of Mr. Hyde, which was at issue 354 to 357. Also coming around this time, and I know that they did collect some of it, I mentioned earlier, Joe Kelly, the wonderful reimaginer of Deadpool, who made him the character that we all know and love. Thank you to Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly, brilliant comic book writer. He worked on Daredevil. I'm sure that the work that he did on Daredevil is not ass, because I've never read anything by him that was. So, and I know they did a collection of some of his work, so I'd recommend you checking out that too if you start going into some of these classic things. But I don't know any specifics from Joe Kelly's run or anything interesting that happened, but I can tell you, like, you know, just follow my path, follow what I gave you, and you will be happy for a very long time doing this thing. You know, go through the order, go through the Kevin Smith starting on Daredevil volume 2 number 1 and take it all the way over to issue 119, where they relaunch it at issue 500 with Brubaker, and then skip over Shadowland and read some Mark Waid, and skip over Charles Soule and read some Chip Zdarsky and Marco Cicchetto, unless you find out that the Charles Soule thing is really good. Maybe it's really good. I haven't read it. Like I said, it might be great. Give it a try. Read the first trade paperback, and if it's freaking rad, keep with it. And if it's not, then get over to Marco Cicchetto's thing. Then start going into the classics. Like I gave you all those classics, start going to the classics. Or you can also start going into some of the special stuff, the Timeless Tales miniseries. Sometimes they'll put Daredevil and a little sub-headline, and they'll put out a 4-issue miniseries or a 6-issue miniseries, whatever it might be. And these are some of my favorite. I've talked a lot about Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. They've worked on Batman. They've worked on a lot of different characters doing their shtick, and one of their shticks that they were doing at Marvel was choosing colors that had meaning for characters in classic capacities. And Daredevil used to have a classic yellow costume for a little while in his early days, and Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale do this great classic Daredevil yellow story, which is really, really wonderful, beautiful. Everything they do, everything they touch, love them. So great. Chef's kiss. You check that out. Bendis and David Mack worked together again on a book called Daredevil End of Days. I don't think I ever read this. I think it came out a little bit after I was done reading. It was like an opus kind of thing for them to come back and do something really cool together on Daredevil. And I think it's supposed to be like Daredevil the End. I didn't read it, but these creators are great on Daredevil. So I actually like kind of top of my list want to read that in particular. Next up, we got Daredevil Father by Joe Quesada. It's a miniseries. It's really cool. It's a little heavy-handed, but Joe, he took his time on this thing. It took a long time to come out. He had a lot of responsibilities at Marvel at that time. He was the tippy-tippy-top boss, and he was working on this classic Daredevil series. I think it was a bit of an homage to Frank Miller and his work on the character, and it's quite cool. It's definitely worth your eyes to gaze upon it. There's also a great classic story, Daredevil battling Jack Murdock. Oh, I didn't write down who wrote that. I forget who it was. It was somebody that I like. I don't remember who wrote it, but it was really good. And the art was good. It was really cool. I remember really enjoying it. It was just sort of added different pieces of story to Daredevil's origin, which I guess I should get into Daredevil's origin a little bit here on to some level. Daredevil is blinded by chemicals as a kid, and all of his other senses are enhanced, but he's blind. And his dad is a boxer, and his dad basically, you know, is really hard on him and encourages him to like overcome his handicap. And his dad ends up getting killed by the mafia because he won't throw a fight. And he's kind of like this honorable dude. You know, you really like his dad in flashbacks, little bits of him that you see. And Daredevil's mom is in like a convent, and she's a nun, and he doesn't have a relationship with her. And he's kind of just this kid who's lost his parents, and he's made good with himself. He's a lawyer, and he's fighting the good fight and taking names and kicking ass and all that stuff. But he's a bit of a mental case because of what's happened to him in his life and the struggles that he's having. And the struggles only get worse. He's really a character that gets put through the ringer over and over and over again, as Batman does in the best Batman stories. Daredevil, man, can't recommend enough. Holy crap, we've already crossed an hour over here. I am almost done with these recommendations, so ready to bring it in for a landing, but let's finish this up. We've got Daredevil Dark Knights by Lee Weeks. I love Lee Weeks. He's an artist, but I think he wrote this with art by somebody else. I don't know if he drew this, but I highly recommend anything by him. This, again, came out a little bit after I had stopped reading for a minute, so I hadn't been able to catch it, but I've read other things by Lee Weeks, and I totally respect him as an artist, and I suspect anything he did is good. You got Daredevil Blood of the Tarantula by Ed Brubaker. I did read this. This was great. Highly recommend that. Daredevil Road Warrior by Mark Waid and Peter Krause. I think I may have read this. This was great. Then you've got Daredevil Redemption by David Hein and Michael Gatos. I love both artist Michael Gatos and writer David Hein, and I read this and enjoyed the hell out of this. Highly recommend this. And my good friend and great writer Paul Jenkins, the guy who did the Inhumans and Sentry, worked with Phil Winslet on a great Daredevil Spider-Man crossover that is filled with charm and coolness and sweetness, and I highly recommend that as well. Well, that's all I've got for you today, my fellow geeks, but this should keep you busy reading for many years to come. So many excellent seasons of Daredevil ahead of you. Mwah. Frankly, I'm jealous. If you think I missed anything, you can write to me at jesseblaze@jessesnyder.com. Follow me on Twitter at coolestgeekjbs. No homework for tonight. I think you now have a ton of voluntary reading to do. Anyway, I love you. You rule. Thank you for listening. And join me again this coming Wednesday for another information-dense episode of the coolest goddamn motherfucking geek alive! It's my favorite part! You've been listening to Coolest Geek Alive with me, your host, Jesse Blaze Snyder. Don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe for more excellent geek culture content. Thanks for listening. I played that. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Coolest alive. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Stay with your tribe. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Revenge of the Geeks. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Week after weeks. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Laughing with you. Be fucking awesome and cry sometimes too. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Spilling it out. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Making you shout. I'm a genius. I've got lyrics coming out me bum for days. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Talking some shit. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Living your shit. My voice is fucking awesome.
The Podcast Playground.